This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die. But right now, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 I tell you, you know, I'm the type of person I like to settle in to get the little nerves out of me, you know, a little bit. So I like to settle in. Father's Day is celebrated all over America for fathers. But I tell you, growing up in life, I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a father, but I had two fathers in my life. Now, I'm gonna tell you just like this. Sometimes you say, well, I had a stepfather. I believe a stepfather took the proper steps to become a father to me, my stepfather. And I learned some things from my stepfather, whether it's good or bad. I made choices that I wanted to accept the good part of that, and then I made choices that I didn't want to be like that, the bad part that I saw, right? And so then my hunger and thirst was to know my real father. So I had an opportunity to go stay with my biological father, who birthed me. So then again, I had the opportunity to see the difference between my biological father and my stepfather. And I made those choices to accept the good things from my biological father, the good things from my stepfather. It shaped and molded me. But it did not make me the father that I am today. The only father. So my question to you is, do you know the father? Look at your neighbor and say, do you know the father? Okay, you're going to get to know him. Praise the Lord. Let me put my glasses on. We're going to go to our first scripture. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians the 4th chapter, the 15th verse. That's 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse. When you get there, say amen, somebody. All right, the scripture reads, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And I look at this passage of scripture. And like I said, becoming a father, I learned to glean from other fathers. Yes, you had many instructors. I had instructors along the way. I had my oldest brother was a good instructor. I had my stepfather was a good instructor. I had my biological father was a good instructor, but he wasn't the father that I needed to shape my character and to mold me into the person that I am today as a man of God. And today I look at fathers in this great house. I had an opportunity to spend time with Elder Perlow. And we took a road trip to Austin with his two sons, Caleb and Cassim. And just to see how he interacted with his boys. And we supposed to be going down there on a shopping spree for men's. But you know what I learned from Elder Perlow that day? He put his sons first. As a father, he said, hey, Jay, you do what you do. I'm gonna take my sons and I'm gonna take them over here to the boys section. And he spent time over there patiently picking out their clothing. A father. That's what young boys long for. to have the attention of their father. I long for that. As a young boy growing up, to have the attention of my father. But here's the thing. Even though both my fathers went home to be with the Lord, I would say to you today, don't waste an opportunity, whether you sons, daughters, wives, don't waste the opportunity to tell that husband or tell that father, all we want to do is say thank you, appreciate us for the things that we do. We don't ask for a lot, but if we just know you care about us and appreciate us, that means the world to us. Amen, amen, amen. One of the things that I like in the Word of God, when he talks about, therefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. That's Hebrews 10 and 23. When you get there, say amen. 10 and 23. See, I believe as a father, once he tell a son, he says, son, we're going to do this. We're going to set aside this day. We're going to get together. Whether you're going to throw the ball or you're going to hang out or whatever you're going to do. I believe as a father, you have to be faithful. I believe as a Christian, you have to be faithful. So it's just not just a father. Just like I say, this message is just not for fathers, but being a person of Christ is being faithful and to those things that you say. Okay, Hebrews 10 and 23. It said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And you know, the things I picked up on my walk with the Lord, some of the nuggets I picked up along the way. Faithful. Being faithful. I don't care what I do. I purpose in my heart to be faithful. That speaks a lot of who you are when you're a child of God or you're a person in the body of Christ. It's being faithful. My question to you is, can God count on you? Because God is always faithful. But can God count on you to be faithful? That's the key, being faithful. The next scripture verse is Hebrews 11 and 6. And I like the scripture because it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him. See, to be faithful, you got to seek the Lord. Being faithful, seeking God, seeking his wisdom, seeking his guidance, seeking his knowledge. That's seeking God. One of the things I like about the scripture, it talks about, for this cause have I sent you. You know, God will send you brothers in your life, or either ladies, he'll send you other ladies in your life to invoke you, to provoke you to faithfulness, to encourage you, not just to try to measure up against you. When you find a person that's trying to measure up against you or try to compare the scriptures they know, compete against you, them ain't the right one. Don't hesitate to tell them, say, hey, listen, I appreciate you, but that ain't my flow. So you know what? That ain't my flow. Me and you, we don't mix. So, but God will send you peoples in your life. And see, and I thank God, because I'm telling you, it's very so often, one friend of mine is here, I know he don't like me to put him on blast, but I always like to talk about him, Deacon Holly. Man, it ain't a day go by that me and him don't call each other. We encouraging each other in the word. And I think sometimes it'd be like, we had to
tell ourselves, hey, man, we need to hang up because we need to get something done. Otherwise, we're going to be on this phone for a while. And it's not just gossip. I mean, it's just encouraging each other with the word, and we speaking the scriptures to each other. And man, it's provoking me. It's pulling me in. And then I'm provoking him, and it's pulling on him. And then we taking his word, and we sharing it, being faithful in this thing. And I just want to use three illustrations. I want to use three illustrations. If I could have my deacons to come up right quick. And we're going to go to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse. Let me get there. Amen. 16:13. I'm there. If I have my deacons over here, I'm going to use this illustration out of the Bible. And it's Matthew, the 16:13. And I believe when Jesus Christ was coming into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, y'all just line up right here. Just follow me. Just walk with me. Jesus coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he got his disciple with him. You know, I like to say I got my boys with me. You know, back out on the street, got my boys with me. And so what happened is everybody out there saying, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus. And then Jesus turned around and asked his disciples, he said, whom do you say I am? And then the disciples said, Elijah, prophet, John the Baptist, Jeremiah. And then Jesus made it personal. He said, but who do you say? Good, guys. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Give our illustrations ahead. Thank you. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Watch this. Let's read that in the verse. I just wanted to show y'all that as a what was actually took place. But says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then this is what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Once again, I want to, Father, do you know the Father? See, Peter, upon the revelation that he got from God the Father. See, do you know God the Father? See, I'm going to tell you how you know if you know God the Father. It was a time that I was going through, my wife could tell you, I had just got here. I was working a job at Applied Material down in Austin. Roughly around about latter part of 1990, 2000. Thank you, babe. That's why I need a wife. 2000. And I got down on the job. I mean, I was making more money on this job than I was making in the military for a whole year, my last year in the Army. I was a sergeant first class, right? And God was showing me all along that this was going to dry up. And I was using, I went to the boss and I said, man, can I use the easel board? And he said, why is that, Donald? I said, I just want to put encouraging words up there because I said, I don't know if we're going to be in this job for a long period of time. He said, well, nothing came down yet. I said, okay. So he said, but yeah, go ahead and do it. But anyway, the job laid everybody off and they sold the bid over to Japan, cheap labor. So I was hired, but you had to go through a probation period where they bring you on permanently. So they shut down all the temps. It was only me and two other peoples left as the temps. And then they let me go. I went home. Watch this now. Do you know the Father? I'm sitting at home. And my wife can tell you now, you know, hey, she'd be real too. I'm sitting at home, and I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how many muscles you got. I don't care how much weight you can lift. You go through a time in your life where you go through a stage of letting up, depressed, feel let down. And I went through that stage. And my wife would call me from work. She said, honey, you looking for a job? I said, I ain't looking for no job. I said, I'm retired. She said, you need to get a job, right? So, and I'm sitting there, I'm feeling depressed. And then I'm hearing God says, do you know who I am? It's not about the job. I'm with you. My word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what happened, I goes over to the Bible studies on Wednesday. See, that's why you got to come to church. Because when you're going through things, God got an answer for you right here in the house. But if you don't come to the house of God, you can't get the answer because you ain't present. And so the enemy continue to beat you up, and you can't get up and do what God has called for you to do. So I go to Wednesday Bible service. And so when I seen one of my brothers sitting over there, and I hadn't seen him for a while in church, and I go over and talk to him, and he told me he had suffered a stroke and everything. And so what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me right then and there, he said, I got an answer for you, Donald. I said, what's that, a job? He said, no, your job is to go over here and minister with this brother. Go there, get with him, go visit him, and spend some time with him. I said, okay, but that's not going to bring no income. My wife's not going to like that. He said, I'm in control. I got this. Now watch this. All alone, men, I would go pick this brother up. He said, hey, man. He said, let's go to breakfast today. I said, where? He said, anybody know a Henderson restaurant here in Killeen? He said, let's go to Henderson. They make good breakfast. So we went to Henderson. I'm over to eat. My wife, I said, oh, Lord. You know how you say, I ain't afraid of nobody, right? You said, oh, Lord, it's the wife. He's like, what? It's your wife. I said, yeah. He said, well, you about to answer that. I said, yeah, babe, what's up? Where you at? I said, I'm having breakfast with, boy, you ain't got time to be getting no breakfast. You need to be looking for a job. What are you doing? I said, I'm doing what the Lord tell me to do. She said, right. But watch this. Make a long story short, I did what God told me to do. I ministered to that brother. I ended up praying with that brother. He believed in God for he get his disability, Social Security. Happened just like that. Me and him, we prayed. And my wife got a job announcement. I took that job announcement to that brother. We prayed over that job announcement. Out of the 16 people's interview for that job, I got it right away. My question is, see, do you know the Father? See, when you're going through times in your life where you depressed or you oppressed or some things happen to you in life that you never thought that would happen to you, because guess what? As long as you're a child of God, you're going to go through some things in life. And guess what? But once you go through, but as long as you got the Father, as long as you know the Father, God, the Father, that's what I'm talking about. And then you got to be faithful. That's the thing that I was pinpointing, being faithful to what God speaks to your heart to do. See, I could have either aborted that assignment with that brother based on what I heard from my wife and said, no, man, hey, we got to cut this, man. I got to go get a job. But see, God says, guess what? You know what God says? You order your steps. All right. See, you got to know the word, too. You got to have some word in you. Because see, if you ain't got no word in you, sometimes when you listen to the wrong voices, hey, it'll make you back up. You know, you start backing back instead of moving forward, and you miss out on God. And see, the door of opportunity or blessings, watch this. The door of opportunity or blessing is open. And when that door open, you got to get in there. You got to get in there. I want to go to my next point. Let's go to Luke, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse. I believe as a person of God and even as a father, you need to be anointed. That's Luke 4:18. You got to be anointed. Amen. Let me know when you get there. We moving. 4:18, it reads, King James Version, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I like this scripture. See, Pastor Ron, he hit it on the head when he was talking about, well, me and him. Yeah, we was out in the world. We played basketball together. We DJed in the same venue. But when God changed our DNA and we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we came into the kinship of who our Father is. See, we had to take time out to know the Father, to know that God anointed us to do what we are doing today, preaching, teaching the gospel. See, once you know the Father and what the Father wants you to do in life, yeah, you might be a little hesitant. Yeah, when you first start out, you might be a little bit nervous, but guess what? Once you know who your Father is, see, if you don't back down, God gonna back you up. And see, like what Pastor Ron was saying, I would have never envisioned running into him at the barbershop 2014, around that area, 15, close to that, in the barbershop. He didn't reveal to me he was a pastor. We just had a natural talk. I didn't reveal to him that I was coming over here to Word of Knowledge, but God did. Then let's move ahead a little bit further. We sent out a football game over in Corpus Cove. He had his daughter with him. A father, he had his daughter with him, teaching her about how being a father, I got time that I could take out and spend with my daughter as a father. Now, me and my friend, we sitting there together, and he said, "Hey, Donald," he said, ain't this your friend over there? I said, "Yeah." And I went over and talked to him. And from that time frame, I said, "Hey, you know, my friend looking for a church. Look at God now. My friend looking for a church, him and his wife, to come visit, and I'm going to bring him over." He said, yeah. He said, "Yeah, come on over." And what happened? My friend ain't here, but guess who's here? I'm here. See, because I know my footsteps was ordered by God. See, when God bring you to a place, listen to this. When God bring you to a place, do you know because he your Father, he know where you need to be. And he's bringing you to the place to bless you. He ain't bringing you to that place to bring harm to you, to bring hurt, any type of disharmony to you. He's bringing you to that place to bless you, to get you where you need to go in life. And see, sometimes when we don't recognize that, we miss out on what God wants to do in and through us. See, I know I needed growth. I needed spiritual growth. See, we all need spiritual growth. We've never arrived. And so when you need spiritual growth, God says, "You know what, son? To get you to the next realm that I have for you, that's where you need to be. That's where you got to come." And it's not no knock on any other ministry or nothing like that, but I believe once God is preparing you to do something greater beyond where you at, you got to do something different to get where you need to go. You can't continue to do the same thing and expect you to get to the level where God wants to take you, but you're doing the same thing. You got to move forward. And if you know, and I'm going to tell you just like this, if you got friends in your life and they're not speaking into your life and encouraging your life and you're not moving forward, you need to disconnect, because you can't grow into the things that God has for you. Do you know the Father? See, one of the scriptures talks about, he says, "My sheep shall know my voice, and a strange voice they would not follow." So my thing is, do you know the voice of your Father? See, I knew when my father used to come home at nighttime and he would call and he would say, "Donald." Like, who is that? Then when I hear that joker say, "Donald Earl Jones," I was like, "Oh Lord, that's Dad. I'm coming. I know the Father." So when God speaks, guess what? I listen, because I don't want to miss what God has for me. I listen to the voice of the Father. Yeah, if I try to imagine it with my mindset and try to figure it out, how it's going to work out. Well, how this going to work out, God? Now, if I do this, now, God, how I supposed to do that? Stop all of that madness. Let that go. Let God work through you. Let him do what he want to do in your life. I don't care what it is. If you speak, speak. If you encourage, encourage. If you exhort, exhort. If you teach, teach. If you share the gospel, share the gospel. Quit getting on your job and being closet Christians. Quit being in your community and thinking that you got to just fit in. Step out and let God step in. See, you got to know the Father. The Father is bigger and greater than anything that we can imagine or think. God, he said it, God Almighty. Don't have to compete. Don't have to compare with no one. If we're a child of God, we should have the same spirit upon us. We ain't compete. We ain't comparing. We walking just like our Father walked. God has anointed you to preach and teach the gospel to those who are brokenhearted, those who are downtrodden, those who are living in sin and in darkness. We was once there. Someone shared the word with us. We got delivered. We got saved. Did it happen overnight, Pastor Ron? It didn't happen overnight. It took a while. So we got to be patient with folks. But when we be patient with folks, don't mean we're condoning the sin that they're living in. And then watch this. Once we pray for them, don't let them keep coming to you. Can you pray for me? Can you got a word for me? No, hold on for a second. I done prayed with you, brother. God's still dealing with you. Just be patient. He still got that prayer on his altar, and he going to answer. That way, a person will tie up all your time, because you have some of these people, they'll come to you consistently. I had a soldier. You got a word for me? As soon as I get in the office, first time, you got a word? No, I ain't got no word for you. I said, man, that's God. I ain't God. See, sometimes you take place of God, man. You thinking you a prophet, evangelist. I hear from God. God, thus says the Lord. God ain't, no, quit, cut that out. Quit playing with folks' life like that. Tell them, hey, I got a relationship with God, man. Pray. I pray for you. I pray for you. God heard my prayers. My hand is clean. My heart is pure. I stand in the holy place in God's holy place, and I pray for you, and God going to answer. Just wait, my brother. Be patient. Amen. Amen. The next thing, we need to speak the truth as a Christian, as a father. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Let's go to Philippians. Amen. This word is good to me. I tell you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. When you get there, say amen. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's walking in truth, speaking the truth. You know, if somebody asks you something, yeah, it might be your best friend. But guess what? As a Christian, we just can't say, well, hey, God, I'm just going to tell a little flat right now. No, that's a lie. Speak the truth. See, because if you walk in the truth, I tell you, it does a lot to your reputation and your integrity as a Christian. See, here's the thing that I believe. I believe the words that I speak out of my mouth, if I'm not going to honor them, I'm not going to speak it. So, if just like what Pastor Ron, he said, hey, Minister Jones, you able to do ministering for Father's Day? Now, if I told Pastor Ron, yeah, Pastor, I'm good. So I done gave him my word. My word should be true. But then come the day I'm getting ready to speak, I'm calling, hey, Pastor, I got a stomach ache. I ain't gonna be able to make it. I got a headache. Now, I'm calling him on the day that he looking for me to be truthful. See, these are some of the things that we got to understand, that when we speak the truth and we tell someone we're going to do something, if you can't do it, then don't wait until later. But if you can't do it then, just speak the truth. You don't have to pretend or procrastinate. You know if you want to do it or not. That's what God called for us to do. Speak the truth. Walk in truth as a believer, as a Christian, as a father. As I grew up as a father, when I told my son and my daughter I was going to take them somewhere, you know what? If I said we're going to get ice cream at 4 o'clock, they prepping at 3:45. They ain't waiting at 4 o'clock. Hey, Dad, we still going at 4 o'clock? Yeah, son, it's just not 3:45. Can I finish watching this? Oh, okay, I was just checking. See, because they waiting to see, are you going to honor what you spoke? So speak the truth at all time, being a father. And then I like what John 17, let's go to John 17 and 17. Let's go there right quick. Let's go to John 17 and 17. Another scripture for you. I know we're doing a lot of scripture reading, but I want to get this in us. John 17 and 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you know, as a believer, do you know the world is watching you, even though they don't even say anything, but they're watching you, and you know, you tell them, say, yeah, you know, you ain't even got to tell them, because they know you operate with a different spirit. So you ain't got to go announcing, tell them you're a Christian, but they're watching you. And believe it or not, they read the word too. They just not obeying the word, but they read the word, they know the scripture. Someone probably been in the church and probably ended up getting out of the church. And so they watch what you say. And then they see how you react to certain situations. I'm gonna tell you, I was in a situation, and my wife can attest to this. I took this test to get a promotion. And first time I took the test, I didn't pass the test. So I was like, man, I ain't taking this old dumb test no more. So my wife said, yeah, honey, don't say that. You're going to take the test again. Don't say it like that. She said, I know you're upset, but you're going to take it. I said, whatever. So I'm just telling you, I'm being real. I said, whatever. So when I go back, I'm praying. God said, son, you're going to take that test. You ain't a failure. I didn't create you to be a failure. You won't take that test again. So, and I'm hearing the people's on my job, and they talking. And now here's the thing about it. They said, man, Donald failed the test, man. He put up more numbers than anybody down here, but he couldn't pass the test. You know, I'm getting hot. You know, I'm feeling myself now. I'm feeling some kind of way. Y'all gossiping around me, and I didn't pass this test, and I'm put up more weighted average than y'all every day. I'm working more cases than y'all juggles than pastor says. And now I'm trying to figure this thing out. How did they do that? I'm saying, like, how did they do that? You know what God told me? He said, don't worry about how they did it. I need you to worry about how you need to do it. Right? He said, all right, study for the test. Right? So you know how you go in and you study, but you don't really study the way you should. And you know when you don't study where you should, because you get the results that you studied for, right? So I retook the test, right? Comes back again. I'm all excited. My wife says, how did you do? How did you do? Babe, I got it. I got it, babe. Okay. She's like, okay, honey. I was like, I'm feeling good now, right? Get the results back. I see up there, your total overall score was 89. But you failed to reach a certain percentage in compensation, so you failed the test. I said, how is that? I got a total score of 89. How do I fail this test again? But you didn't pass the part that was critical to the test. So here I go, trying to figure this thing out. Pastor Ron, you know, ask my wife. I wrote a letter to the compensation director that was in charge of the test. Man, how you gonna have a test when you saying the overall score need to be an 80 to pass? I got an 89 and you still telling me I failed? You know what he did? Guess what he did? Take a guess. He didn't even reply back. He shut that down real quick. He didn't even reply back. So you know what I did? Pity party. Come on, God, what's up? It's like, God, you don't want me to get promoted? God said, I didn't say that, you said that. He said, you ready to get promoted? I said, yeah. He said, well, study, son. Study for the test, like I tell you. He said, you trust me? I said, yes, I do. He said, pray. I pray. He said, now, this is how I want you to study. He showed me how to study for this test. Asked my wife. I finished that test. I had an hour left. You know what the enemy told me? The devil? He said, boy, you better go back and check that. Check your work and change some of them answers. You didn't finish too fast. You're going to fail again. You know what I told the devil? I don't think so. God said, he got this. When I got to my test scores back, asked my wife, I smashed that test. Percentage that I passed that test was over 35% of the people that actually took the test. Got my promotion. What is I'm saying to you? I'm saying to you is, let God be God of your life, knowing that he's the Father in everything. You got to go to God. You got to hear his voice. You got to hear him speak to you. Even when sometimes when people count you out, don't worry about them. But God the Father, he hears. He knows. He knows your destiny. He knows your future. He knows the promises that he has for you. Don't sell yourself short. I'm talking to somebody out there today. You might be streaming at home online, but I'm telling you, trust the Father in all things. Let's turn to 1 Peter 14 and 15. 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. And we're going to talk about holy. 1 Peter. Amen. Let me get there. 1 Peter. Let's go. Amen. 1 Peter, we're going to read verse 14. Everyone there. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14, 15, and 16. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I believe not only just as a Christian, but as a father, as a man of God, you need to be holy. There are some things that God challenges us as fathers, especially men of God, especially as Christians, being holy, walking holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And being holy is not what you put on, it's for this clothing. And you know, some churches say, well, women can't wear pants, you can't wear makeup or whatever the case might be. I'm talking about being holy, taking God things serious when you come into the house of God, like taking communion, holy. Then keeping yourself as a person that don't get caught up in worldly conversation, strife, bitterness. When people come in, what's your take? When somebody comes to you and asks you a question, hey, let me ask you a question, brother, what's your take? You know what I tell them? You know what's my take? They be listening. They know they finna get me. You know what I say? You know what's my take? God, that's my take. Go talk to him. That's who I talk to. So if you want to know what to take on this political issue, talk to God. Because what happened is, see, the enemy is always trying to get you drawn out of your walk with the Lord. See, I believe every time, see, watch this, when God have us walking forward with him and we moving forward in the Lord and the enemy pulls you out, he stagnates you. You don't move, right? Because what it is, he got your attention. It's a distraction. So now you ain't hearing from God. You dealing with the distraction that's in your ear, you know. And so what's your take? Sometimes people will come up and say, hey, let me ask you a question. You're a believer, right?
First of all, first thing I'm saying to myself, what are you going with this? Because I know there's a motive coming behind it.
You're a believer, right?
Yeah.
I say, yeah. What do you think about the gun laws, the bill being passed that everybody could brand a weapon?
I said, well, as a child of God, do you need to brand a weapon? I said, my thing is, my protection is in the Lord.
I said, but at the same time, I'm going to do what I need to do to feel safe. I'm not saying the gun laws is wrong. I'm not saying it is right. But my take is, whatever God speaks to my heart to do, that's what I'm going to do. I trust him.
You still need to have a vote on it. You know, you're a citizen.
I said, yeah, you know what my vote is?
Prayer.
You want things to change?
Pray.
See, and then you know what I tell him? I said, now here it is. You telling me you're a believer. Are you praying or are you gossiping? Which one? Because now God has called for us to pray. So why are we gossiping with this issue? Why is this an issue for us? And we know that we have a big God that above each and every situation that even we can think of. Why is we discussing this? Why don't we come together and pray so we'll be on one accord in unity and bind that spirit that's trying to release this gun bill instead of sitting here gossiping over it? See, people's a waste of your time. You'll be doing something productive in the word or just encouraging yourself in the word, and here come the enemy. Distraction. Stealing time from you. But see, when you know who God the Father is, God will speak to you. Say, leave that alone. Don't entertain that. Walk away. You know what I tell? I tell a person, quick, hold on for a second, man. Hold that thought, man. I got to go pick my wife up, man. Got time for that. Walk away. Do what you need to do to stay focused. Because I'm telling you, you know, in life, just think about it. Life is like a vapor. We could be here today and gone today. That's why we got to take time out and enjoy the life that God has presented to us as Christians, as believers. We need to enjoy every moment, even with family. You know, I ain't just talking about our family that we was born into, but even our Word of Knowledge family, even our church family, that we come and encourage each other in the Word, provoke each other in the Word, speak good things to each other in the Word, bless each other. Just not in the word, but in actions and in deed. Bless each other. That's what God called for us to do. And if we get this, we'll all do the same. It just won't be just one or two. We'll be on one accord, because the word of God says you're on one accord in unity. God commanded blessings, so when he blessed Pastor Juan, boom, he threw Pastor Juan that blessing. He'll throw me the blessings too. But see, if we ain't on one accord and we ain't walking together in unity, but you know, I like this on him. I don't really like that on him. I don't care for all that. Okay, well, you ain't walking in unity with what God wants to do in and through you. Let's go to the next one. We're going to talk about Joshua 1:8-9. Let's go to Joshua 1:8-9. And I believe we need to also, as Christian, as fathers, to be exhorters. We need to know how to exhort each other. In the word, encourage each other, lift each other up, even when we go through. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let's read verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that they mayest observe it to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wherever soever thou goest. I'm telling you. Pinpoint. Me and my wife had no clue when I got ready to get out of the army what we was coming to. So guess what we had to do? We got together on one accord, in unity. We prayed to who? The Father. I didn't call my mom. She didn't call her mother and say, hey, what do y'all think? We prayed to the Father, and he showed us Texas. This is where you need to be. We didn't wrestle. We didn't come, you know, it's too hot. We didn't make excuses. My wife will tell you, when I hear from God, you're either with me or I leave you. I mean, I'm serious about that. I left Boston, Massachusetts in the midst of a winter storm because I heard the voice of God says, it's time to go. Ask my wife. My wife and my daughter was in tears. Honey, please, it's snowing out. It's a storm, blah, blah, blah. I said, honey, God said go now. I said, we done prayed about this. He gave me this date. We shared this. I can't worry about what the weather condition is. I got to trust God. So what happened? I started out leaving Boston in a 316 BMW. I left my wife the Jeep 4x4 up in Boston because it was snowing. I got up to Rhode Island. Man, the roads were so icy. It was cars slamming to each other. Cars turned upside down. Come on now, I'm telling you. See, don't say if you don't know God now. You better say you know God when God speak to you. Because if not, it's some things that you can see will make you. And watch this. I'm seeing the car turn upside down. This guy in front of me, he's spinning out of control. And man, I'm behind the wheel and I'm doing like this. I'm shaking. I'm like, oh God, did you tell me this? Or this me acting a fool? God says, no, son, I spoke to you. He said, this is what you need to do. Don't you stop. Because if you stop, you're going to do what he's doing. Just going around him. Just going around him. Tap the gas. He said, now let up. Don't hit your brakes. Whatever you do, don't brake. Just going around. The police was doing this, sending people that way. He said, going around. Man, I got through that ice storm. When I got over on the other side up in New York, man, I pulled a car over. I was like, oh, God, thank you so much. Telling you. But we got here. And God has established us here in Texas. And it's been a blessing. Ask my wife. It's been a blessing. We haven't missed a beat. None. So that's what I'm saying. Let God the Father encourage you and let you know. Wherever thou goest, God is with you. If God spoke it to you, he'll do it. He'll do it. Don't think because he did it for the neighbors, it ain't going to happen for you. It's coming. Just keep confessing his word. See, but what we do is sometimes we take our eye off God and say, oh, God, guess that ain't for me. It ain't going to work. And then you hear a lot of people say this to you. Yeah, man, I tried that Jesus stuff, man. That stuff don't work. I tried God. It don't work. But see, the problem is you tried. You didn't trust. See, trust means patience, obedience, faithfulness, waiting on God to move. His timing is not your timing, but it's only in his timing. Let's turn to Psalm 71 and 23 right quick. Encouraging each other in the word as a father, encouraging our children in the word, even when things don't go their way, encouraging our brothers and sisters in the word as a father, not just as an instructor, but as a father, wanting the best for everybody else, just like God wants the best for us. And speaking to someone in someone's life, constantly encouraging, provoking them, motivating them, sharing the wisdom of God with them, a father, setting the example, being faithful, being anointed, speaking the truth, living holy, married to the same woman for 31 years, living holy, and then encouraging each other, exalting each other. Psalm 71, and 71 verse 23. 71 and 23. I will also praise thee with the papistry, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O the Holy One of, 23, okay, all right. My lips shall, thank you, babe. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed redeem. See, I like that word because the Lord has redeemed fathers. The Lord has redeemed believers. The Lord has redeemed me. Not, see, when I go back home, some of the guys back home, they know me as Donald who I used to be. But when I go back home, I say, I'm not that same Donald any longer. I'm not that same guy that ran the streets. I'm not the same guy that drank beer. I'm not the same guy that dipped and dabbed in weed. I'm not that same guy that had maybe 2-3 girlfriends on the side. I'm not that same guy. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me. He has changed my DNA. See, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so that's why I'm thankful and grateful each and every day of my life. When I wake up in the morning, I'm charged. I'm challenged by the word of God. Whatever you speak to me that day, that's what I do. I can't jump into nobody else's assignment. See, a lot of times where people's God speak to them and they want to call someone else and say, hey, let me tell you what God spoke to them. You with me? And then a person said, well, God ain't spoke that to me right now, brother. You know, won't you just hold off? I'll get back with you later. Then a person, they might get upset with you. But you got to understand and recognize when God speak an assignment to you and whatever he called for you to do, do you know he've already forgiven that to someone else that's going to come across your path and say, guess what? That God spoke that to me too, brother. What time you want to meet? What time you want to do this? What time you want to make this happen? See, we need to understand the Father, who God is. So a lot of times when you go through life, yeah, you're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some changes in your life. But do you know the Father? Yeah, you have some losses in your family, some loved ones. We got fathers that went home to be with the Lord right now as we celebrate Father's Day. But do I know the Father? Yeah, I love my earthly father, both of them. But you know what? I thank God for God the Father that birthed me, that put some characteristic of Christ in me, that has blessed me this day. Amen. Amen. Fathers, Word of Knowledge family, streamers, let us be examples of a person of truth by living a life of godliness through integrity and truthfulness to our Father God Almighty. My question to you, do you know the Father? Because if you know the Father, guess what, family? God knows best. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.
Come on, give God another hand. Praise because he's worthy.
Love you, man.